I want to read 4 verses from the New Testament, and when I read them, you will understand why, because we're speaking on the subject of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And at times, you are not sure whether the word ruach means wind or breath or the human spirit or God's spirit. But when the very passage that is quoted in the Old Testament is given in the New Testament and the Spirit of God is spoken of, then the matter is settled. So look now in Matthew 12 at verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah, the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall declare judgment to the Gentiles. Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, verse 17. And there was delivered unto him, the Savior, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. John chapter 8. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I came forth and am come from God, for neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. And in Acts chapter 10, for the last New Testament reference, Acts chapter 10, Verse 38, Even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee that Thy Son has already told us that in all the Scriptures there are things that speak concerning Him. The things concerning Himself, we rejoice that Thou hast given us this treasure, a book containing the person and work and glory and suffering, the entirety of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father. The great privilege has been ours to read and consider the Scriptures for these 8 weeks now. We pray that the things that we have learned shall have been planted in our hearts and shall grow and bear fruit, and that tonight shall be no exception. So, our Father, we pray that Thou shalt illumine us and empower and give us a good time together. Glorify the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Chapter 11. And while you are turning there, I will briefly read one more New Testament scripture, and you'll see why in a moment. And again, Isaiah said, There shall be the root of Jesse, and he that ariseth to rule over the Gentiles, on him shall the Gentiles hope. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod or a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. I do not know if you wondered during the past 7 weeks why I never once referred to the prophecy of Isaiah. We were considering the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and perhaps there were so many references in the Old Testament to the Holy Spirit, it never entered your mind as to why I did not refer to the prophecy of Isaiah. If you have looked up all the references, or Bob Adcock has a list of all of the references as I consider them to be, if you have looked at them, you will marvel that in some of the most spiritual books in the Old Testament, the word Spirit or Holy Spirit occurs not once. And in some that you might never expect to find it there, the Holy Spirit occurs again and again. And so it might very well be that in the prophecy of Isaiah you would not find the Spirit. But this is not the case, because of all the books in the Old Testament, the prophecy of Isaiah, if I have counted the references correctly, contains more references to the Holy Spirit than any other book. And this includes the prophecy of Ezekiel, and that was filled with numerous references to the Spirit of God. But I know of 14 and probably 17, because in chapter 11, that's why I just read from chapter 11, it speaks about the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. There is a reference to the Spirit of the Lord. And then it says, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. There may be four references here, because it says the Spirit shall rest upon him. Now, we do not know for sure if the Spirit that rests upon him imparts to him a spirit of wisdom, or if the Spirit himself is that spirit of wisdom. And so I counted it 17. The same Spirit manifesting as he is the Spirit of truth, who promotes truth, who is truth as well, but promotes truth. He is the Spirit who imparts wisdom. And in this one portion in chapter 11, we have four references to the Holy Spirit. In fact, twice as many as you find in the book of Micah. And in some books, you find none at all. But there are 17 references to the Holy Spirit in the book of Isaiah. And if I thought it would do you any good, I would tell you what they are, but we'll see how time goes. But what I want to do tonight is to show you from this prophecy of Isaiah the references to the Spirit of God. I told you there are 17. And of these 17 references, no less than 4 of them are in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I will give a liberal reward to anyone who can tell me any other book that directly refers to Christ and the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. You've got the whole Old Testament except this book of Isaiah. And you should be suspicious and say, well, if Mills is offering a reward, there's no doubt that it's not there. I've looked at every reference. And the remarkable thing is this, that while Ezekiel may have as many references to the Spirit, unless you include them as I did, Ezekiel nowhere mentions the Holy Spirit of God in reference to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. No other book in the Old Testament mentions the Holy Spirit in reference to the Christ other than the book of Isaiah. This is a special honor that is granted him. And God, having given him this honor, he lavishly revealed the Lord Jesus Christ in a fourfold relationship to the Spirit of God, and each reference to Christ and the Spirit is distinct. In the book of Ezekiel, you have constant references to the Spirit of God as he is in relation to Ezekiel himself. But though Isaiah has more references to the Holy Spirit than Ezekiel, you find not one reference to the Holy Spirit in reference to Isaiah. A remarkable thing. Ezekiel is constantly telling us of his awareness that the Spirit of God is upon him, is lifting him, is taking him in vision. He tells us constantly about the Spirit in his life. Isaiah not once tells us about the Spirit of God in his life. But he tells us about the Spirit of God, excluding himself, in the lives of more than any other prophet, the Spirit in their lives, Isaiah tells us, more than any of the other prophets in the Old Testament. And yet he never mentions himself. I think of this. If I asked you, who was the disciple whom the Lord loved, you would say John. And I ask you this, how many times does John mention his own name in the gospel that he wrote? You say, not one. And in like manner, he who tells us most about the Spirit of God does not once mention the Spirit of God in relation to himself. But it is so evident that the Spirit has filled this man that it would be redundant. You do not have to tell me that the man that wrote this book was inspired God, you will find that if they are getting together all the great literature of the world, it makes no difference. If they are going to include the great literature of the world, they will include the book of Isaiah. It is the greatest book ever written in the Hebrew language. It is acknowledged as such. And I tell you this, having read the Old Testament and having looked at the prophets, there is not another prophet in the Old Testament that can compare with this prophet. If you said to me, I'm going to take away every prophet in the Old Testament except Isaiah, do you realize that very little would be lost? Because Isaiah tells us more in a greater variety concerning things to come than all the other prophets in the Old Testament. This is the marvel of it, and especially concerning the Messiah. He presents the Messiah to us in so great a variety of ways. He speaks of him as a child, as a son, as Emmanuel, as the mighty God, as the servant, and in all of the ways that I've read to you from the New Testament. Each one of these, and I've only begun to tell you the way that Christ is presented in this prophecy of Isaiah, he presents him in this great variety of ways, and he sees him more clearly than any other prophet in the Old Testament. And so this is the marvel, how one man, over such a long period of time, so long, in fact, that some look at chapters 1 to 39 and say, why, this was written by a man different from chapters 40 to 66, because evidently they were written over a long period of time and they are separated in time, and yet you look at them and they are joined together, and I can show you from references in the New Testament how both the first part of Isaiah and the second part of Isaiah are attributed to Isaiah by those in the New Testament. But here he is for so many years. He is not like some prophets that get one vision from God And is that not enough? Have you ever had a vision from God? Tell me. When have you seen anything in the Spirit the way that Isaiah saw? Not the same way. We've all seen Christ by the Spirit, but not in this way. But for so many years, in such a great variety of ways, why, it is incomprehensible that this man could know so much of Christ, and yet he does. It says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. And Isaiah has seen the day of Christ. He has seen Christ before his day on earth began. He has seen him during his day on earth, and he has seen him after his day on earth, and his life in heaven begins. Isaiah has the fullest revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ of any other prophet in the Old Testament, and that is the marvel. And so that's why I say, yes, I would miss all of these other passages, the prophecies in the Old Testament. Would you not miss the Spirit of God being poured out, like it says in Joel chapter 2, I will pour out my Spirit? You say, yes. Isaiah tells us the same thing, that the Spirit is going to be poured out upon the children of Israel. And I could go on and show you how these who refer to the Spirit's work in one of the other prophecies, Isaiah tells us the same thing. And so Isaiah is he whom God raised up and has given him the great honor of presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to us in his fullness, in his greatest variety. And what I'm going to do tonight, since time is limited and we are speaking on the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, I'm only going to give you these passages, and I'm not going to expound them for this reason. I could take a message or more for each reference that I'm going to give you. And so what I'm going to do is to simply show you how they are presented in the prophecy of Isaiah as a whole, introduce you to them, and perhaps in the coming day I may give you a distinct message on each passage. But all of these references that I gave to you are of Christ. Now grasp that first of all. Grasp it because it is so important. I see people feeling around trying to interpret Old Testament passages, and they are without excuse. If a man is not able to find out of whom the prophet speaks in Isaiah 11, he is without excuse, because Romans 15 tells us that this is of Christ. And Matthew 12 tells us this is of Christ. And Luke 4 tells us this is of Christ. And John 8, though not as indirect a way, tells us also that this is of Christ. And so there is no doubt. It is not that I've looked at a portion in Isaiah and said, this reminds me of Christ. I think I will bring a message to the brethren and tell them how this reminds me of Christ. It is unnecessary. There are many passages in which I think I see Christ. But if I am not told so in the New Testament, I have to say, this reminds me of Christ. I do not have to say that Isaiah 11 reminds me of Christ. Paul tells me in Romans 15 that this is Christ. I do not have to tell you that Isaiah 42 reminds me of Christ, because Matthew in chapter 12 tells me this is Christ. And I do not have to tell you that Isaiah 61 reminds me of Christ, because the Savior himself in Luke chapter 4 tells me this is Christ. And the only one that I could not give you a direct reference concerning was the one in Isaiah 48:16. And I will explain why at a later time. But I think that I could deduce that this also is of Christ. All right, let's think of these passages, and the reason that I read those to you in the New Testament, because they were New Testament references concerning the portions from Isaiah that he brings to our attention of the Holy Spirit in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to them as I tell them to you. The Lord Jesus is given us in chapter 11 as the branch. Look at verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot, it says rod in the King James, but a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. This is but one reference to Christ as the branch that you find elsewhere in the Old Testament. And so here, he is spoken of in his humanity. Why? Because it says, there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse and a branch out of his roots. And so he comes from a root. He is the offspring of David, and he is spoken here as the branch. Keep that in mind. And as the branch, in his humanity, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Keep that in mind. Inasmuch as it says that he is a branch of the root of Jesse, then this is Christ incarnate. This is Christ in the days of his flesh. You say, well, aren't all references to him in Isaiah the days of his flesh? No. I told you that Isaiah saw more of Christ than any other prophet in the Old Testament. Do you remember in chapter 6? He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then having told us that, John chapter 12 says, he saw Christ's glory and spoke of him. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ when he is the Word of God before he ever became flesh. Isaiah saw him in chapter 6 before he ever became flesh and tabernacled among us. And so when he comes to chapter 11 and speaks of him not as Jehovah, and chapter 12 of John tells us that this Jehovah, this eternal one in Isaiah 6 is the Lord Jesus. Just as certainly he tells us in Isaiah chapter 11 that the Lord Jesus is a man, that he is one who springs from the root of Jesse. Now he could have said David. If you remember, the genealogy of David is Obed, Jesse, David. And so when it speaks of Jesse, it speaks not of him who is king, but of one who is a lowly person in Israel. And when King Saul spoke of David marrying Michal, his daughter, David was overcome when he thought of his insignificance being elevated to marry the king's daughter. And so here it is not David the king that Christ is spoken of as descending from, but it goes back to David's father, this humble one. It sees fit to show us this because when Christ came upon the scene, when he sprang out of this root of Jesse, it was no great Jewish king sitting upon the throne. It is not a Solomon springing out of David, but this kingdom of David apparently has disappeared. But it is not disappeared, but still, here is the root of Jesse, and there comes forth a branch, a stem, out of that root, and it says, he bears fruit. After all of those fruitless descendants of David, finally one comes, and he bears fruit. That's all I can tell you for now. I'm just introducing it. But this one, in his humanity, it says, the Spirit of God shall rest upon him. Now, the next one, if you want to turn to it, it is in Isaiah 42. Look there. Isaiah 42. And there is no doubt about this passage because in Matthew chapter 12, the behavior of the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth in Matthew 12 as Christ is depicted in Isaiah 42. And so the matter is at an end. 42, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry nor lift up his voice, nor cause it to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, a dimly burning wick will he not quench, and so forth. Do you remember that I just read it to you in Matthew 12? And so here again is the Lord Jesus, but this time he is not the branch of Jesse, but he is the servant of the Lord. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him. And so as the branch, the Spirit of God rests upon him. but also as the servant, the Spirit of God is upon him. Keep that in mind for a moment. We have twice Christ mentioned in his humanity. He is now in the world. He has become flesh. And both times he is mentioned, the Spirit of God is upon him. Now, here is a startling scripture. Turn to chapter 48. Here is one that causes people to speak to themselves because they say the Holy Spirit is not found in the Old Testament. The Trinity is not found in the Old Testament. If I read it correctly, I'm going to read you a reference to the Trinity right now in 48 verse 16. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. From the beginning I have not spoken in secret. From the time that it was, there am I. And now, the Lord God hath sent me and his Spirit. It's reversed here. It can be, as it is in the King James, the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. But notice, the one who is speaking as being the sent one is Christ. And he says, the Lord God hath sent me and his Spirit. And so you have the Father and the Son and the Spirit in Isaiah 48:16. But please notice again, when the Lord Jesus is spoken of here, the Spirit of God is spoken of in reference to Christ. But here, he is set forth as one that you find so many times in the New Testament. You say, how? And now the Lord God hath sent me. He is the sent one. You find it? For instance, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 15, I am not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says in Luke, he hath sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. The Lord Jesus says in John 8:42, I came not of myself, but he sent me. And you might not know it, but in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1, it says that Christ is the apostle and high priest of our confession, and the word apostle is the sent one. The only difference is that the sent one, he who sent me, is a verb, and then you have apostolos, that's simply the noun. And so again, in chapter 48, here is the Lord Jesus. Three references to the Lord Jesus, all of them are referred to in connection with the Spirit, and not one is the same. We have him in chapter 11 as the branch, we have him in 42 as the servant, and now we have him in 48 as the sent one, the apostle of our confession. Now, chapter 61, look at that. Chapter 61. And listen to verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and so forth. Now here, he is spoken of as the anointed one. And again, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me. I told you the great variety with which Isaiah sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have Christ presented to us in a fourfold way. But though it's a fourfold way, in each way, he is presented to us in reference to the Spirit of God. Think of this now. If this is so, then as the branch of the root of Jesse, the Spirit of God rests upon him. As the servant of the Lord, God puts his Spirit upon him. As the sent one, the Spirit with the Father sends him. And in Isaiah 61, as the anointed one, the Holy Spirit himself is the anointing. Every time you see in type in the Old Testament, a prophet or a priest or a king being anointed with oil, one may be very difficult to find. When you find him anointed with oil, that is symbolical of the Spirit of God in reference to Christ as prophet, priest, and king. The way that it was done in the Old Testament, but to present it symbolically. And then in the New Testament, what we see in symbol in the Old Testament took place when the Lord Jesus was baptized. The heavens were opened and the Spirit of God descended in bodily form as a dove, and it abode upon him. And so every time Christ is presented to us in these four scriptures, they are presented in reference to the Spirit of God. And I told you that each scripture is Christ in his humanity. I told you that in Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. This is Christ before he became flesh. But in the references that I've given you, every one of them, as it says in Hebrews 5, who in the days of his flesh, while he is on earth, a man, in the days of his flesh, all of these references have to do with Christ in the days of his flesh. And every one of them speaks of the Spirit of God. And we should have anticipated and been prepared to see how God manifest in the flesh would live when he came to earth. But every time I tell people what I tell you, they become angry with me and wonder if I am detracting from the deity of Christ. A strange thing. Whereas every reference to Christ in his humanity in these four passages has the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is he through whom this one in the days of his flesh moves and lives and has his being. Now you and I and so many that contend, as I do, contend for the deity of Christ, become afraid when we see scriptures like this. We say, why, Jesus knew everything and he performed miracles and he was omnipotent because he was God, and that's why he could do these things. I challenge you to show me one passage anywhere in the Old or New Testament where the Lord Jesus ever in his own power performed a miracle or exerted a power or spoke a word apart from the Spirit of God empowering him. You and I would like to say, but he was God, and so he goes along, and since he's God and man, he draws upon his deity and he knows these things. No, never does. I've searched the book carefully, and when I tell people this, they become angry because they can never find a reference. And isn't it strange that you've never read one reference, but you've surmised that it's there? If the Lord Jesus said, if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, how would you think he cast out demons? You say, why, by the Spirit of God. He didn't say, if I by my own deity cast out demons. He said, if I by the Spirit of God. Now, he could have, being God manifest in the flesh, had done it. But God saw fit to send his Son as the dependent one and to work and live and move and speak in the power of the Spirit. It says that the Spirit of God came upon him at his baptism, and it said the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness. Who was it that told him to go into the wilderness to be tempted? His deity? You say, it says the Spirit of God. And I read to you in Acts 10, it says how God anointed the Lord Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How many scriptures do I have to read? And yet, in the light of all of this, people still become angry and say, well, you're detracting from the deity of Christ. No. What you want to do is to give in an overblown way his deity, whereas God is emphasizing that this is God manifest in the flesh. And though as God he could have done these things, he shows himself and he is to be presented in the scripture as the dependent man. And every time Isaiah mentions him in this fourfold display in chapter 11, 42, 48, and 61, it is always in reference to the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is doing the work or is present when the work is done. And after I tell people all of that, they still say, but I still believe. If you do, then you're without excuse. Why would you believe these things when God shows you how that holy thing that was born of the Virgin, how he's going to live, and God shows you in the Old and the New Testament, why would you look for any other explanation? Why would you anticipate how he must live because he's God, whereas he's God manifest in the flesh, and God says he's going to live this way? Why would you insist that he live another way? So take it as it's set forth in the Scripture. Now, consider this. He is given to us in a fourfold way, in Isaiah 11, 42, 48, and 61. But listen to the way he's given. First of all, Isaiah, the prophet, presents him to us in chapter 11. And then the Father presents him to us in chapter 42. And in 48 and 61, Christ himself speaks and tells us about himself and the Holy Spirit. So interesting. Listen to the progress. In chapter 11, Isaiah, as the prophet says, a branch shall spring out of the root of Jesse, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That is a prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord is going to rest upon him. When he comes, the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest upon him. But in Isaiah 42, it says, the Father says, "Behold my servant." It is no longer Isaiah, but the Father says, "Behold my servant." You remember when the heavens were opened, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Well, here he says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I have put my Spirit upon him." In chapter 11, it was simply, "The Spirit shall rest upon him." But what is the source of that Spirit? It says in chapter 42, the Father says, "I have put my Spirit upon him." And so as Christ went back to heaven and sent the Spirit from heaven, so when the heavens were rent asunder and the Spirit came out, the Father said, "I have put my Spirit upon him." And in chapter 48, the Lord Jesus says, "The Father, God the Father, and the Spirit hath sent me." And then in chapter 61, that is fulfilled in Luke 4, his first public sermon, he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek, to the poor." Again, Christ says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Just this. I told you that Ezekiel was aware when the Spirit entered into him, lifted him up. The Lord Jesus also is aware. The Lord Jesus said, "The Spirit sent me with the Father." And in Isaiah 61, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he knows that this is the exact time of its fulfillment, because he says, "Today has this scripture been fulfilled in your ears." And so Isaiah, the chosen, honored prophet to give us Christ in reference to the Spirit of God. And there is so much more, and so the only thing to do is